Okay, my friends. So today we are reading a story called Chanticleer and the Fox. What do you suppose Chanticleer is?
Well, I guess the only way for us to know for sure is to find out by reading it. But I can tell you this much. I know for certain, in the picture we can see that there is a rooster. And it does say at the bottom here, adapted from Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. And it's illustrated by Barbara Cooney. And so we know that if it was adapted from another story, that means that there was an older story written about it. And it is. The Canterbury Tales is an old, 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 old book. And it's full of interesting little fables. And so in this case, I can tell you with absolute certainty that Chanticleer is the name of the rooster. Cock-a-doodle-doo, I'm a rooster. So this story is read today by Mommy and...
The end.
And the end, because we love stories that end well. We also love getting to the end. But we must start at the very beginning. That's how you must do it. Are you ready?
Ready. Let's go back to the newspaper.
Let's go. Here we go. Once upon a time, a poor widow, getting on in years, lived in a small cottage beside a grove which stood in a little valley. This widow, about whom I shall tell you my tale, had patiently led a very simple life since the day her husband died. By careful management, she was able to take care of herself and her two daughters. She had only three large sows, which are what? What is a sow?
Pig.
Can you tell? Very good. A pig. Three cows, and also a sheep called Molly. Good name for a sheep. Her bedroom was very sooty, and as was her kitchen, in which she ate many a scanty meal. She was never sick from overeating. Her table was usually set with only black and white, milk, and dark bread, of which there was no shortage, and sometimes there was broiled bacon or an egg or two, for she was, as it were, a kind of a dairy woman. Now, maybe not all of that makes sense, so let me break it down for you. Her bedroom was very sooty. What do you think that means?
Like ashes everywhere.
Soot. Very
not
good.
Clean.
Mm-hmm. Because she lived in a very small, kind of humble home. Mm-hmm. Her meals were, she had a scanty meal. What does that mean?
A small meal.
Very good. And she was never sick from overeating, which means that her meals were very small. Mm-hmm. And her meals were usually black and white. Milk was the white, and black was the dark bread that she would have eaten. But she does have those cows, so she would always have milk, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. She had a yard fenced around, all around, with sticks, in which she had a rooster named Chanticleer. For crowing, there was not an equal in the land. His voice was merrier than the merry organ that plays in church, and his crowing from his resting place was more trustworthy than a clock, and his comb was redder than fine coral and turreted like a castle wall, and his bill was black and shone like jet, and his legs and toes were like azure, and his nails were whiter than a lily, and his feathers were like burnished gold. What an interesting sounding looking bird, right? Isn't he beautiful? Okay. Now, this fine rooster had seven hens, all colored exactly like him. Now, the hen with the prettiest throat was called Fair Demoiselle Partlet. And she was polite and discreet and debonair and companionable, and she had conducted herself so well since the time that she was 7 days old that truly she held the heart of Chanticleer all tightly locked. and it was a great joy to hear them sing in sweet harmony when the bright sun began to rise. For in those days, I'm told, beasts and birds could talk and sing. And it so happened one day at dawn that Chanticleer sat on his perch surrounded by the hens that began, and he began to groan in his throat like a man troubled by his dreams when Partlet heard him moaning this way, and she was frightened, and she said,
"Dear heart, what ails you that you groan in such a manner?"
And he answered, saying,
"Madam, I dreamed just now that I was in much danger. I dreamed that I was roaming up and down within our yard when I saw a beast like a hound which tried to grab my body and would have killed me. His color was between yellow and red, and his tail and both ears were tipped with black, different from the rest of his fur, and his snout was small, and his two eyes glowed, and I almost died of fear at the sight of him. Doubtless that's what caused my groaning."
"Go on,"
she said.
"Shame on you. You know I cannot love a coward, by my faith. Haven't you a man's heart? And haven't you a beard? Be merry, husband. Do not fear dreams."
"Thank you, Madam Partlet," he said, "for your learned advice. I do say that when I see the beauty of your face all scarlet red about the eyes, my fears die away."
That's a lot of dialogue, and it basically means this. He said to her.
He thought in his dreams, he thought he saw a fox that was going to tear him up and kill him.
You think so? Well, that would make sense because he said it was a beast that kind of looked a color between yellow and red. And what would that color be?
Fox fur.
Yeah, orange. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she says to him, "Well, don't be afraid. I need you to be strong and brave." And he said, "Oh, yeah, I will be." Okay. And with these words, he flew down from the rafter along with the hens, for it was day. And with a clucking, he called them all to some grain, which he found lying in the yard. And he was as regal as a prince in his palace and no longer afraid. And he looked like a lion as he roamed up and down on his toes, and he barely set foot on the earth. Now Chanticleer, walking in all his pride with his seven wives beside him, cast up his eyes to the bright sun, and he crowed in a happy voice,
"Listen how the happy birds sing, and how the fresh flowers grow, and my heart is full of gaiety and joy."
But suddenly, a sorrowful event overtook him. A fox, tipped with black and full of sly wickedness, had lived in the grove 3 years. And that same night he burst through the hedges into the yard where fair Chanticleer and his wives were in the habit of going. And this fox lay quietly in a bed of herbs until almost noon of that day. Now, Partlet, with all her sisters nearby, lay merrily bathing in the sun, with her back to the sun, and the lordly Chanticleer sang more joyfully than a mermaid in the sea. Now it happened, as he cast his eyes upon a butterfly among the herbs, that Chanticleer became aware of the fox lying low. Now he had no desire to crow then, but at once cried,
"Quack! Quack!"
and started up like a man frightened in his heart. And he would have fled at once if the fox had not said,
"My dear sir, alas, where are you going? Are you afraid of me, your father's friend? Why, the reason I came was only to listen to you sing, for truly you have a merrier voice as any
angel in heaven, the Lord, my Lord, your father, God rest his soul, and also your courteous mother, did give me great honor of visiting my house. Except for you, I have never heard anyone could sing as your father did in the morning. In order to make his voice stronger, he would close both his eyes. And he would stand on his tiptoes and stretch forth his long, slender neck. Now, sing, sir. For holy charity, let's see whether you can sing as well as your father.
Okay. Real quick timeout. Do you trust this guy?
No.
What does he want him to do? He wants him to stretch out his neck and close his eyes? Now, let's have you do that really quick. Close your eyes. Stretch out your neck. Now, if you were a chicken and a fox was right in front of you, is that the kind of position you want to be in? No, because he could just bite you on the neck and that'd be the end of you. And you wouldn't even see it coming. I don't think we can trust this guy any further than we could pick him up and throw him. Oh, what's going to happen? Chanticleer began to beat his wings. He stood high on his toes and stretched his neck and closed his eyes and crowed loudly. And at once, the fox jumped up, grabbed Chanticleer by the throat, and carried him towards the woods. Alas, that Chanticleer flew down from the rafters. Alas, that his wife took no heed of his dreams, and all this trouble came on a Friday. Well, such a cry was never made as was made by all the hens in the yard when they saw Chanticleer captured. The poor widow and her two daughters heard the woeful cries of the hens and at once ran out of the doors, and they saw the fox going towards the grove, carrying away the rooster. Help! Help! Woe is me! Look, a fox! They screamed and ran after him. Now, the cows and the sheep and even the hogs, so frightened were they by the shouting, ran after him too. And they ran so hard that they thought their little hearts would burst. Well, the neighbors' ducks quacked as if they were to be killed, and their geese, from fear, flew over the trees, and the noise was so terrible that the bees swarmed from their hive. It seemed that all heaven would fall. Now, good people, I beg you all to listen. This rooster in the fox's mouth spoke to the fox in spite of his fear, saying,
"Sir, if I were you, so help me God, I would say, turn back, you proud peasant. I have reached the edge of the wood now, and the rooster shall stay here. In spite of you, I will eat him in faith and not be long about it."
What?
Well.
Who said that?
This is what the rooster is saying. He's saying, "Please don't eat me. Turn around and let me go."
"In faith," the fox answered, "it shall be done."
And as soon as he spoke the words, the rooster nimbly broke away from his mouth and flew at once high into a tree. Oh, he let him go, huh? And when the fox saw that the rooster was gone, he said,
"Alas, oh, Chanticleer, alas, I have done you a bad turn. I frightened you when I grabbed you and took you out of the yard, but, sir, I did it without evil intention. Come down, and I shall tell you what I meant."
Oh, so he's saying, "I didn't mean to hurt you. Come back and we'll talk it out." Should we trust him?
No.
"Nay, then," said Chanticleer, "never again shall you, with your flattery, get me to sing with my eyes closed. For he who closes his eyes when he should watch, God never let him prosper."
And he's saying, "I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to do that again."
"No," said the fox, "but God bring misfortune to him who is so careless about his self-control as to prattle when he should hold his peace."
Uh-huh. So the fox is saying, well, I'm not trying to be mean. Give me a second chance. You see, I think he is just trying to pull the wool over his eyes again. See, said the widow as the fox slunk into the grove, that is the result of trusting in flattery. And she marched with her flock back to the yard in the little valley, and she had her rooster once more, and all of the little hens were probably very happy to have their rooster back. But we learned an important lesson, didn't we? Mm-hmm. What did we learn?
Never trust someone. Never trust them. Never. Wait, I forgot.
Never trust someone who's flattering you.
What? How do you know if they're flattering you?
Oh, that's a really good question. So, did this fox know the rooster? Mm-mm. No, he didn't know him at all. But he was saying wonderful things about him. Oh, you have such a... Your voice is even better than your dad's voice was. Did he know his dad? Probably not. But he wanted him to think that he did. He was lying to him to try to trick him. Because he was trying to get something from the rooster. What was he trying to get? Lunch. Yeah. Sneaky as he was. And so we cannot trust someone who really doesn't know us or have our best interest in mind, but they are trying to get something from us, and they'll say anything they want to get us to do something for them, won't they?
Yeah.
So we don't want to trust that. Nope, nope, nope.
Like if someone walks up to you and says, I have free candy, just come to my van.
Oh, exactly. You look like a nice kid. You definitely deserve free candy. Uh-uh. No, sir. That's a big fat no, thank you. Stranger danger. And that's what Chanticleer should have known when he saw this fox. Uh-uh. Stranger danger. But that, my friends, is
the end.
The end.